The second week of a series called Hot Buttons, and this series is not a series of bringing up topics just to push your buttons. And we also have to understand and clarify that there's going to be certain things that we're going to talk about that aren't hot buttons for you. They're not things that you go, oh, well, that's not really an issue for me. Just like this very difficult for you to walk out of here and everybody to be on the same level and go, oh, I know exactly where he's going, or I know exactly where that's at. But there's some of you in here that maybe we're going to talk about some things that used to be a hot button. It used to be an issue for you, and now you've overcome it. And to you, I say, you need to be a teacher in this. You need to be one that's mentoring, or as Paul says, I'm constantly pouring my life into Timothy, so Timothy pours his life into others. This is our responsibility as followers of Jesus. So this is not a moment for us to go, well, this is probably for somebody else, but not for me. And in 2 weeks, because next weekend we're at the park doing our church picnic, and we're out in the community. In 2 weeks, we're going to start a series on family, and I'm giving you an upfront of what we'll talk about during that 3 weeks may not be suitable for people under 13, especially if you're haven't had the talk with your kids, or you haven't gone deep into that with your kids. I'm going to talk about some things on God's design for the family, and it's going to go against culture. Again, this is not about getting my opinion out. This is not about getting our leadership's opinion out. This is about what does the Bible say specifically about this? And this is a narrow road, the Bible says. We're not trying to get culture to go, oh, finally, you guys, I think just like you. Culture's gonna think differently. This is what the Bible says about this. This is not an opinion. This is where we stand firm on Scripture as a foundation, and we have to see that. So if you're going to get angry, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Bible. Get mad at Jesus. Take it up with him. See how that goes. You know what I'm saying? This is what this is about. In the next 3 weeks, last week and these next 2 weeks, we're looking inwardly. We're looking at where I am. This is an issue of where do I stand? Because before I can look out, I have to look in. Before I can look at others, I have to see the mirror. And even Jesus brings up how we're judging and how we're looking at other people. That, listen, the same token you're going to want to judge, you're going to be judged. The same way I'm looking at people, just know I better be looking in a mirror. And that is a difficult process. It's difficult for us to look inward. It's easier for me to look at my friend or my spouse or my kids and say, you're messing up, than it is for me to look in the mirror and say, I'm messing up. Anybody find that easy? No, we don't. We like to shift blame. And it's usually not us looking in a mirror. We have to look in a mirror. Or as Hebrews 12 tells us, look at this line, Hebrews 12. Verse 14, 15, scripture we talked about last week. It says, work at living in peace with everyone. Can we just stop there for a moment? How difficult is this? It didn't say this will come naturally. He says, work at it. And then he says, and work at living a holy life. This is going to take work. This is going to take discipline. This is going to take us being intentional. This is not an accidental thing. This is not something we go, oh, I just woke up today. I'm living holy. This is awesome. It's going to take work. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting who? Everybody around you. Because this is reality. When you're a bad version of you, everybody around you pays. They pay for it. Because we're responsible. We have to work, and it takes work to dig up the root of bitterness. This is not going to be easy. This is not going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be difficult. And the only way that we can get through this is to be intentional and to look inward. This is not a end of the church experience where I have someone pray for me and I'm good. This is a process by which we have to continually die to self, continually ripping the roots up, because we all have issues. Can we agree on that, please? We all have issues. This is not us looking across the aisle and go, yeah, I can see that guy has issues, or I can see this person. We all have issues. We all have roots. Yes, some go deeper. Yes, some it's more difficult, but we all have issues. And so Galatians 5, a scripture we looked at too. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Guys, I felt like last night as I'm speaking, I felt like this was a lot of kindergarten stuff. I feel like this is so simple, we miss it. I feel like this is so foundational that we sometimes neglect it because we want to be super spiritual, or we want to feel like we're farther along than we are. That's the evaluation. Oh no, I'm way past that. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide us. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves or desires. When? When won't I want to do what my sinful nature craves? When I'm listening and being led by the Holy Spirit. So let's read these couple of verses in Colossians 3. If you have your Bible, make sure you're there. It'll be on the screen, but go old school with me for a moment and read through your Bible. I know some of you, you're on your app. I got it. Some of you are checking Facebook, though. I was checking it earlier to only find out that my wife got a pig today, apparently. Darn you, Waterloo swap. Yeah, thank you. Jeez. My wife thinks that we're farmers or something. Just because you live on 3 acres does not make you a farmer. And a pig, I don't care what you say, a pig should be eaten, not a pet. And if you're offended by that right now, I do not care. Anyway, Colossians 3. I'm using last night's podcast, so we're good. Colossians 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So I want us to see this, because we like verse 4. We like verse 4, we like the appearing, we like heaven, we like, God, get me there. It's the Christian suicide message almost, like, God, just get me out of here. This is our prayer when life gets tough. God, I'm hoping to be in glory with you right now, but we have to look at the three first verses to go, listen, we have to talk about how we are here on earth and that we have a job to do, that there's things that we have to be about right now on earth in our culture, and how we respond to culture and how we think about culture has to be how God wants us to think about it. And if I'm not setting my mind, if I'm not setting my heart on those things, then we're missing it. And then we're blaming our life and the chaos of our life on something else, and we're band-aiding a problem, and we're not looking to the why or for the what reason we're in this predicament. We don't want to talk about the predicament. We just want to band-aid it and hope it goes away. It's not going to go away until you dig the root up. It's not going to go away until you start thinking differently. You want to think the same way and think that something different's going to happen. You're always going to come around this mountain. And at some point you're going to go, haven't I been here before? And you have, because you've not changed anything. You've not changed a thing. If I want to lose weight, it's a lifestyle change. It's not a, I'm just not eating licorice anymore. Man, nibs are my downfall. I love those little things, you know? They put them in little sizes, hoping that you will only eat a couple. I eat the whole bag. It's a lifestyle change. I got to think differently about my whole life if I want that to change. I can't just take out bits and pieces and then think it's different. I have to think different. So how do I have a heavenly mindset? Paul calls us as followers of Jesus, who are tempted like anybody else into worldly, carnal things. He says, set your heart, set your mind on things above. That's his point. On things above. And that word set is intentional. That word work is intentional. This is not going to come natural to any of us in this room. It is a mixture of good and bad times. Because your life at home could be great and life at work is chaos. Or life at work is great and life at home is chaos. It is a mixture of good and bad times. And whether you choose to count your blessings or to be a complainer, you and I have a choice. I have a choice. And when we focus on the good, we not only notice more good, but we actually create more good. And Paul says, thinking on right things and practicing them. What does he say? Put into practice these things. James tells us this. It's not just hearing the word. I have to be a doer of the word. And that's how it gets inside of me. I don't just have to be a person that thinks well. I have to practice this. It all starts there. Romans 8 says it this way, verse 5 and 7. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Again, this is kindergarten stuff. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. It's intentional. And I think if we knew how powerful our minds were, we'd never try to harbor another negative thought again. If I understood how powerful it was. If I understood how powerful. Because I live about 15 minutes away of thinking the wrong things to totally corrupting my life. A bad thought, if I do one certain thing with that thought, and that thought is to dwell on it. If I dwell on that thought, or as Romans 12:2 says, not to copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for your life. To dwell is to think deeply, to review, to replay, to meditate, and then to talk about it. It's not so much that you have a bad thought, it's how long you allow that bad thought to camp out in our minds. That's the point. I'm dwelling on this, and now it's no longer a good thought. It's now a bad thought that I'm looking for action. That's why Paul says it's not just a thought, but it has to produce action. And if I'm dwelling on good, I'm producing action that is good. If I'm dwelling on bad and I'm harboring all these feelings and what's coming out of me is bad, I mean, this is kind of like what we tell our kids, right? In, out, it's no different with us. Naturally, you dwell on what you fear the most or what excites you the most. And when you dwell there, you build virtue mentally every single day. That's why if you look at any of my journals, you look in my Bible, there's one thing that I'm very intentional on. Be patient today. Respond patiently. It's intentional. Do I stink at times? My wife will tell you yes. My kids will tell you yes. But what is on the forefront of my mind? Jamie, you have to think patiently. Jamie, you have to think on these things. You have to think on a patient response. You have to be a listener, not one that just responds. Again, we talk about listening all the time because that's what James constantly talks about. Quit talking all the time. Be a listener. And again, that definition is listening is not waiting for your turn to talk. Come on. I try every day to do that. And here's what Paul says. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, these couple verses. He says, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. One final thing he wants to tell us. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right. Fix your thoughts on what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. When? You and I want the peace that passes understanding. We sing about it. We ask for it. We want it. But when does he say the God of peace will be with you? Then the God of peace will be with you when? When I'm thinking right, the God of peace can show up. When I'm thinking wrong, chaos shows up. That's why the enemy, if he can control your mind, it changes everything around you. It changes every person around you. That root of bitterness that Paul is talking about, that the Hebrews 12 is talking about, it's saying, listen, it's corrupting every single person around you because you're not thinking right. This is where insecurities come from. This is where fear comes from. When I have wrong thinking, I'm opening myself up to some crazy stuff. And you and I instantly want to find out where the blame is, and we never want to look in the mirror for that being the blame. I want to find out who I can blame, why they did what they did, how I can harbor bad feelings towards them, how I can justify why I am who I am. And all the while, the Bible says, this is your responsibility. This is on you. When I meet with people, and I do this a lot, I don't talk about the past. I don't talk about the stories. I don't talk about, well, so-and-so did this to me, and so-and-so, and my mom raised me this way. Let's talk about right now. What are we doing with that right now? What is your responsibility right now? Because I don't have your mom, I don't have your dad sitting right here that I can justify your story and back it up. And now it's he said, she said, and this is what's happened. It's like, no, no, no. What's your responsibility moving forward? What is your responsibility on how we respond to this scenario? I'm not questioning whether you've been hurt. I'm not doubting whether you've been hurt. But how do we move on from that? How do we move on? How do we move past the fact that you're hurt and you have a responsibility? Of course we can blame people. We can blame them all day long. And you can even find people that will help you justify how you're right, why you're right. Those are not friends. Those are not your friends. A friend looks you in the face and says, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm willing to tell you where you're wrong in this instance. And a real friend receives that as well. Oh, that's really good preaching. I'm. You guys, this pushes on so many elements of who we are as people because we are secluded. We want to hide. We want people not to know us. And when we push on a button and we push a little bit towards what really might be happening, we either run to that to fix it or we hide even more. And let's be real. Most of us in this room, we've hid a lot. I get emails every week. I probably would say this past week I got more emails than I ever have before. Why? Because roots are an issue. Roots are an issue. And people are recognizing it. But let me say this. It's not good that we just recognize it. Unless you're willing to take a shovel and start digging the root up, what's the point? Listen, I know what to eat to make me more fit. It doesn't mean jack if I don't do it. I know Coke is bad for me, but it tastes so good. Come on. I know drinking water is better for me. Doesn't mean I want to do it. I have to be intentional. I have to live a disciplined life. I know running is probably good for me, but that is so dumb. Listen, I like to be on this end of the whistle. I never feel bad when I make kids run. I think it's good for them because they're young. I have respect for cross-country people. Jake, I have respect for him. But running just to run is dumb. We talked about this a lot, but it might be the reason why a lot of us are fat too. If we can be real. All right, so how do we have a disciplined life? How do we address this? I am so getting in trouble. This might be the week I get more emails. All right. First thing is, how do I get a disciplined life? How do I have a mind that's disciplined? The first thing that usually goes is my devotion life. First thing that usually goes is my time in Scripture, my time in prayer, my time in reading the Word. How do I get a disciplined life? I have to be in the Word every single day. I got to be in where I'm constantly reading. And this is what Moses says to the Israelites. He says it this way. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Listen, there is no excuse for you and I to not see, read, meditate on Scripture every single day. No excuse. If you have a problem, go to Hobby Lobby. They got lots of cool stuff with Scriptures on it. I'm not even joking. You don't even have to be creative to make this stuff. You can go buy it at Hobby Lobby, put it on Pinterest that you made it. Some of you are doing that already. I know. That's why there wasn't a lot of laughter. There is no excuse in the app world, in the social media world. There is no excuse for us not to be diving into Scripture. And listen, you're not going to hear me stand in front of you and say, listen, you start reading the Bible through for the next 365 days. I'm asking you to start somewhere. I'm asking you every single day to have a devotional life, because when you have a devotional life, you think clearer. When you're spending time in God's Word, you don't have to think about what God's Word says, because it naturally is coming to you because you've read it. He's saying, listen, everywhere that I'm going, I'm talking about it. I'm sitting at home, I'm talking about it. I'm talking about it with friends. And then he says, teach people. We're so insecure that we stop teaching people. Here's what I would say. Find someone you know more than and start teaching them. That's your responsibility. Well, don't I have to judge that I'm smart? You do it anyway. You do it anyway. Teach people the Word. And he says, when you're teaching it, you get it more. Amen. You're now preparing. This is the first thing that goes. Show me people in chaos, I'll say your devotional life has gone out the window. Well, I'm not really reading like I used to. Well, duh. Your marriage is falling apart. You're thinking crazy thoughts. Of course you're not in the Word. That is usually the first thing that goes. Start somewhere. Paul says, this is how we go. Teach your children. Everywhere you go, do this. He says, let it be reminders. I almost went somewhere. I shouldn't have. So, sorry, I laughed internally. 1 Thessalonians says, be joyful always and pray continually. I have to be a person that has a relationship. Every aspect of my life starts or stops with my relationship with Jesus. Who I am as a dad is a reflection of my relationship with Jesus. Who I am as a man is a reflection of my relationship with Jesus. How I respond to the situations that happen to me are a reflection of my relationship to Jesus. I believe that. I believe I'm a better husband because I have a relationship with Jesus. I believe I'm a better dad because I have a relationship with Jesus, because I think differently. My thoughts are no longer just about my selfish ways. Why? Because I have a relationship with Jesus, and that's what he teaches me. That's what he's showing me. I believe you're a better you when your relationship with Jesus is right. And Jesus didn't walk away. So can we quit blaming him? He didn't leave you. He didn't forsake you. He didn't abandon you. If anybody walked away, it was you. And the problem is, we don't ever admit that it's us. We want to admit that it's someone else. Just because they hurt you doesn't mean you walk away from Jesus. And you're allowing that root to keep you from a relationship with Jesus. The second thing he says in Colossians 3:2 is reject everything that is not from God. That's what he says. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Some of you are in this room, you're like, that is crazy talk. How do I reject everything? I'm going to be a hermit. How do I reject it? In order to have heavenly thoughts, we have to get rid and keep away from certain things. We have to. We have to know and have safeguards to protect our hearts, or we're opening ourselves up to get hurt. That's why later on in Colossians it says, get rid of lust, of anger, of jealousy, of anything that is not of God. He says, get rid of those things. I have to be intentional on getting rid of those things. I can't just hope it goes away. God, I hope I don't have lust today. God, I hope I don't get angry today. What are the areas that trigger the lust? What are the areas that trigger the anger? What are the areas that trigger the jealousy? Paul says, get rid of those things. Get rid of those things. Think on things above, not on earthly things. Rejecting that. Corinthians says it this way. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we do what? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That's like some real physical stuff there. Take captive. It didn't say, be nice about it. Take captive. Another word for captive is arrest. To arrest every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Guys, this is really difficult stuff because our mind is powerful and you are at war within you for the carnal, for the selfish, for the worldly, and for the things of God. This is the war that is happening inside of all of us. This war is happening inside every single one of us. And it starts with the way that I'm thinking, and then that produces into actions. Every thought, take it captive. Make it submit. If you're a parent in this room, you make your kids do things. Listen. They live in your house. They are not your friend in this moment. You are their parents. You make them do things because you are a mom and because you are dad. And you may not like that because you're trying to be a friend. I'm just telling you right now, that will not work. Well, what do I know? I don't. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That as a parent, you are to be the parent. And that you can make them do things because they live under your house. And that you say statements like, I created you, I can take you out. I mean, you make those statements. You might get arrested for it, but you make those statements. They might call 911. They might threaten. They're not going to do it. I've heard it. You're not calling anybody. You think you got it bad. I mean, we say some fun stuff. You think it's so bad here, you're going to live with grandma. And then you're like, why don't my kids like grandma? Because every time they're bad, you threaten to send them to grandma's. They don't ever want to go to grandma's. That's why grandma spoils them. Like, because you say stuff about sending them to grandma's. I'm sending you Grandma Nettie's if you do that one more time. I don't want to go to Grandma Nettie's. Anyway. Third thing is healthy relationships. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. You and I, to have the right thinking, we have to have healthy relationships. I'm not just talking about relationships. Again, my thinking is often affected by my friends. I have to have healthy relationships. If I'm hanging around people that are negative, I will become negative. And if you're a parent in this room, that your kid has some crazy friends, and you think your kid is the exception, you are deceiving yourself. They're hanging around hellions, they're going to become a hellion. Amen. They're hanging around crazy, they're not the exception to the rule. They're going to be crazy. You're hanging around people who are feeding things into your mind and into your thoughts that should never be thought. It's not healthy. This is not about having relationships. This is about having healthy relationships that cause you to thrive, that causes you to think differently. And it starts with your friends. It starts there. Get around people that are going to build you up, not tear you down. Get around people that are constantly pointing you to Jesus. People that are praying with you. And again, people that are telling you what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. Amen. Guys, anybody can find a friend like that. We see them every day at Walmart, okay? Come on. We know this. A lot of people at Walmart don't have friends because a friend would not let them dress like that at Walmart. So... man... Emails. PSeanW@gmail.com. Huh. attention, Sean Williamson. The Bible says, for you to have friends, you must be what? Friendly. You are not called to do life alone. You are called to be in relationships, and you're not called to do relationships unhealthy. You're called to do relationships healthy. So how do I have this mindset? Colossians 3 said, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So to me, when I read that in Colossians 3, verse 3, I go, what did I die to? If Christ's death on the cross and his redemption, and it says that I died, what did I die to? I think to have this mindset, I have to die to sin. Romans 6 says it this way. Since you have been united with him in his death, we also have been raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I have to die to my sin, and I have to surround people with me that help me die to my sin. And the only way that I can do that is to call out sin. I have to know the difference in what sin is and what sin isn't. And the only way that I know that is to know what the Bible says in regards to it. I have to die to that. It says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Another word for count is think about yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ. We talk negative talk all the time. Our culture is full of negative stuff. Negative. 70% chance of sun. We talk about 30% chance of rain. Come on. Look at your app right now. It's not talking about how much sun we're getting today. Now the app is weird. It's like 31% chance of rain. Could we just round up, right? High school, 3 A's, 3 B's, 1 C. What did we talk about? Yeah, I didn't talk about the A. You know how hard that A was? And the 1 C happened from a teacher. It was a teacher's fault. Here it is. Here's the scenario. And I still see this teacher to this day. I have a relationship with her. Here it is. 79.8. Folks, that's a B. Listen, it was my Fellowship of Christian Athletes coach. I had strings to pull. Like we have a relationship. You should like me. Like, come on, give me the B. Anyway, but what are we talking about? We're talking about the C. Why did I get a C in algebra? Because algebra stinks. Why did I go to Bible college? Because there's no math. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Just like I'm not joking when I say part of the reason I married my wife is because she's tall. That's true. That is true. I don't want my kids to suffer like I did. I don't even know what my point was. We're negative. We have a culture that focuses negative. We have a culture that has a tough time acknowledging sin. We have a difficult time acknowledging that. We have to die to sin. The last thing, I have to die to myself. Luke 9:23 says, and Jesus said this to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my disciple, here's what you have to do. To deny yourself first and foremost. Take up your cross and then follow me. I have to deny me. I have to die to myself. The things that I want. Now I'm saying, God, what do you want? The things that I thought was what was my will. I now am going, God, what do you want to do? God, what's your will in this? God, what is your thoughts in this? He says, Moses, when he's talking, he says, every single thing I'm bringing to God, I'm talking about him. He's in every part of my decision. He's talking, I'm not just coming to God when it's a big decision and I can make the small ones on my own. I'm constantly dying to myself and my will and what I want so that I can have what he wants. That's a family decision. That's gathering our kids around and going, guys, what do you think God wants us to do in this moment? Because that's when God speaks. That's when creative things happen, when I'm saying to God, we're on the same page here. How can we? Guys, that might go against what you thought was going to happen in your life. You thought you were headed down this way, and God throws a curveball in your plan, do we fight it? Or do I die to myself? And you're going to find that it doesn't make sense sometimes. Sometimes it's not naturally making sense. And this is where I trust, or as Galatians said, I'm led by the Spirit of God. And there's going to be people that call you narrow-minded. There's going to be people say, you are such a crazy person. And that's when I find out, do I concern myself with what God wants or with what man wants? And it's easy in this setting to go, Jesus, I just want what you said, what you want. I want to sing about it. It's a cool tune. It's different when you're confronted with it. And so I have to constantly die to myself. I have to constantly die to the things that myself wants. And that's the only way. That's the only way I can do that. Let's stand today. Guys, I want this moment in the next couple minutes as we sing the song, as we reflect, as we ask God, as we search, as we go deep, as we say, God, here's what I want. What we do is we say, Jesus, here I am. And I'm asking you to speak to my heart. I'm asking you to teach my heart the tough things. Don't just speak the soft things, the comfortable things. I'm asking you to speak to my heart on the areas that I'm wrong. Guys, have you ever prayed that prayer? God, if I'm wrong here, would you tell me? Have we ever prayed that prayer? To me, that's dying to self. To me, that's dying to my will. When I'm willing to go, God, if I'm wrong here, show me this. If I'm not in the right, I need to know. Because it's not about being right. It's about what Jesus wants. And this is when we find out whether I'm a follower or whether I'm just some fan of Jesus. This is when I find out, am I willing to lay it all down? Or is this just a good concept? This is when I find out, am I doing this to appease my family or the people around me? Or is this really what I want to do? You don't find out when life is good. You find out when it's difficult. You find out then. Because when my heart is stirred, that's when I find out what it contains. That's then. I'm not finding out when life is... money's in the bank and kids are proper for the moment. I find out when life throws me a curveball and I get news that just rocks my world. And I would have never chosen that way. But yet, this is the scenario. Where does my mind go? Is the roots coming out at that moment? Or is what I put in the roots coming out? See, because that's the moment where I find out if I'm giving my life to Christ or not. If my roots are Jesus, then what comes out when tough times happen? Jesus. If my roots are anger and bitterness and jealousy, and someone tips that, what comes out? Beauty? No, it's envy and jealousy and anger. So again, it's a root issue. And that's what we're asking. And I'm not stupid. I know there's some of you in this room, and there's some real issues. And I know some of you in this room, you've dismissed me 20 minutes ago because of those issues. And again, this is not about my words. I can't change you. Your wife can't change you. Your neighbor can't change you. Your neighbor is the best thing in the world. He can't change you. Only Jesus can change you. He is the one that transformed the way I think. I can't transform the way you think. Nor should we pretend that 30 minutes on a Sunday morning that I can transform the way you think. Only Jesus can do that. God, today, God, there's some deep things going on. There's some people in this room that last week said, I'm dealing with this root, and they put it into practice this week. They've apologized. They went to people. God, there's people in this room that they're still skeptical. They don't want to go all in because, God, there's a lot. There's a lot there. God, I pray today is a day of new beginnings, a day the process starts, the day that someone says, yes, yes, Jesus, here I am. I'm going all in. I'm going after you. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything that I am, God, here I am. I'm in. Take me. I'm done. That's the place we start. God, we reflect. We come to you in this moment. Say, Jesus, would you transform us? Would you change the way we think? Jesus.
And he is jealous for me. Loves like a herd.